BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America, and our first of 2 days with our guest in studio, Matt Staver from Liberty Council. Just before we get to his introduction, though, so much taking place across the nation and around the world. Yesterday, Iran hurtling hundreds of missiles directly into Israel, and thankfully, the Iron Dome. And certainly we're confident that divine intervention is also involved in this, but the protection of Israel. Israel has responded that Iran is going to regret this attack. We'll have some discussion on that. Also, last night we saw the first and only debate to take place for the vice presidential nomination. This is Tim Walz and J.D. Vance that went head-to-head yesterday. Well, sort of head-to-head. It was J.D. Vance against two moderators and Mr. Walz that happened yesterday. We'll have some information on that. But certainly we're glad that you have stayed tuned to be involved in the issues. Much is at stake as it relates to the election just weeks away from right now. In some places, early voting has already gotten underway, and critically important for you to be knowledgeable of the issues on your ballot and to cast a prayerful vote. Whether you're voting absentee, voting early, voting on election day, do not sit out this election. More on that over this two-day series as well. But we would like to welcome to Milwaukee in our studios here, Matt Staver, who is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Matt is a constitutional attorney, 3 landmark cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. He's the author and host of Faith and Freedom and Freedom's Call. And Matt is here in town because he's going to be addressing pastors at our Pastors Appreciation Month luncheon tomorrow. Matt, so good to have you with us here in our studios.
Good to be here, Jim. Very good to be here. Always, usually we're remote, and I'm down in Florida, and you're here, but right. It's good to be here in the studio with everybody.
Well, Matt, this is a milestone time for Liberty Councils as well. You're just celebrating 35 years as an organization.
That's right, 35 years. 1989 is when Liberty Council was founded, so we just, this past weekend, did a Liberty Council gala that is celebrating our 35th year. It's hard to believe, but this is... even more so for VCY. You know, we were just talking earlier today about Vic and the founding of VCY, and you're now going into your 70th year.
Yeah, as a corporation, 70 years, and radio broadcasting then began in 1961, so 63 years in broadcasting, but 70th year in existence as a incorporated ministry.
Well, and we've been together for so long.
Since your beginning.
Since the beginning mm-hmm. of Liberty Council. I remember in the beginning of Liberty Council when we had our 3-minute right. Freedom's Call program, right. and we would do it on these cassette tapes, and we would then overnight them up here to you. And you so graciously, and Vic graciously back then, were able to air those. And that was our first launch of radio programs.
Right, right. And we developed a relationship through the years that has been wonderful. And the Lord has used you, Matt, in a powerful way. We've talked about 3 landmark cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. One of those cases that you became aware of that you were going to argue before the court, you were right here in this facility when you got the call.
It was about the same time of the year. It was around October, November, and I got a call from the United States Supreme Court. I was with Vic Eliason at that time, mm-hmm. and we were getting ready to walk into a meeting with a group of pastors for lunch, just like we're going to do tomorrow, where I'll be speaking with pastors. So it brings back a lot of memories. That would have been in the late fall of 2004, and that was the Ten Commandments case out of McCreary County, Kentucky, that I ended up arguing in 2005. But it was right here at the VCY studios with Vic Eliason that I got the call from the Supreme Court.
Amen. Well, there's another case that just in yesteryear as well that you were involved in a suburb of Milwaukee, Wauwatosa, as the community there, their city seal was under attack, and there had been a cross on the seal that the city voluntarily was just removing from their logo.
Yeah, that particular seal, for those that are not here from the local area in Wauwatosa, that city seal has 4 quadrants, and one of the quadrants was a church. And that particular seal was a seal that was adopted from a contest. And some children, actually and others, they drew the particular draft seal. And the seal had different meanings, all 4 quadrants. the reason why the churches were there is because there were a lot of churches in Wauwatosa. And so that was the city seal for years and years until an atheist group sent a letter to Wauwatosa. And then on their own, without any lawsuit, they started to remove that seal and they made it blank, just completely blank. And Vic Eliason went on the air, called me. We did a program on Crosstalk. And then I flew up for the meeting of the city aldermen. I'll never forget it. It was in a very cold day in January, lots of snow outside. We walked in, it was packed, and I got 60 seconds to speak. That's all they gave me was 60 seconds. But that turned everything around. VCY's and Vic's and Crosstalk's involvement in getting this information out stopped that effort. There was a referendum that took place. It passed. And in place of that particular church, now you have In God We Trust, the national motto. And of course, it made the atheists livid, but they couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
So most of those seals, they still have either the church or they have In God We Trust. Most of them now have In God We Trust in it. So it actually is even, you know, like a Genesis 50, what God intended for evil or what those that intended for evil to wipe out the religious Christian heritage of Wauwatosa, God turned it around for good.
Yeah, indeed. Well, and most recently, we know that there was a case just to our south in Racine, Wisconsin, a group called Terry One Hour, and their efforts certainly to be a witness for life on sidewalks, and there are some prohibitions that were put on them, but Liberty Council came to their aid as well.
Yeah, we sent a demand letter to the city, and they responded appropriately, and they said, no, they're not going to restrict them anymore, but they were threatened with arrest. Don't come back here for any pro-life, or in this case, they were there to give a peaceful Christian witness. They were having a so-called pride event, and they were told, don't come back. You'll be arrested if you do. We sent a demand letter. Richard Mast and Liberty Council worked with those individuals, and fortunately got that reversed very quickly.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. And we just focus on those few things in our area, but all across the country, Matt, you've been involved. And we think of the continuing impact of the Shurtleff decision coming out of Massachusetts. I mean, this is amazing, the impact that it's having on so many First Amendment religious liberty cases across the country.
Yeah, this particular case, you know, when we started Liberty Council, my wife and I, back in 1989, 39 years ago, we wanted to overturn Roe versus Wade, the abortion decision. We also wanted to overturn Lemon versus Kurtzman, this 1971 decision that really did a lot of damage to the First Amendment Establishment Clause. It was responsible. That's the case that was actually used by this atheist group to say, oh, this was a violation of Lemon versus Kurtzman to have a church in the quadrant of this city seal. So that's something that has been on our radar for 39 years. That actually happened in 2022 with our Shurtleff case that came out of Boston, Massachusetts. The Supreme Court ruled unanimously in our favor. We lost twice in the district court, lost twice at the Court of Appeal, won unanimously 9-0 at the United States Supreme Court. And that case then was the overturning of Lemon versus Kurtzman. Interestingly, Jim, it was in 2005 when I argued the Ten Commandments case that everybody predicted that the Lemon test would be overturned in that case. And in fact, that was the case that the Supreme Court first accepted the question, should they overturn the Lemon versus Kurtzman decision? They did not. And the reason why they didn't, I believe, is because Sandra Day O'Connor, that was her last term on the bench, and that was her pet child. And she didn't want to see it go before she left. But you know what? That's the last time they used Lemon, except in the lower courts, they continued to use it. In the Supreme Court, they didn't. But in 2022, it is now gone, and it no longer haunts religious freedom anymore.
I think they call that the trash bin of history.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Well, Matt, good to have you in town. Looking forward to it. And congratulations on 35 years for Liberty Council.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matt, several things yesterday, and one of which here on the eve of Rosh Hashanah in Israel, we had the Iran launch hundreds of missiles at Israel, and these missiles coming into the country, and the Iron Dome went into effect on this. But this is something that has stirred Israel to no end. The prime minister vowing that we are going to, you know, we're going to respond to this. The foolish Iranian leader who made the worst decision in its history will pay a very heavy price. That message coming out of Israel today.
You know, it is time that Israel takes decisive action, and I know for a fact they will. I was watching a lot of the videos of the missiles, large rockets. We're talking about huge rockets. Mm-hmm. That were launched out of Iran, one after another, several hundred. Most of those were shot down. Some of those were even shot down over Jordan. Most of those were shot down over Israel because of their air defense system. A few got through, but one of them landed, for example, in the desert in the Negev, and another in an open field. Not a single person was hurt by this, except for there was one person who was a Palestinian from Gaza in Jericho. And the debris from the rocket that was shot out of the air fell down on that individual and killed that individual. But the rockets did not kill anyone. Amazing. I mean, that's just an incredible miracle that they didn't kill anyone. But now I think it really opens the door for Israel to go in and take out the nuclear reactors and cripple Iran. It's the Iranian people don't like the Iranian regime. The Iranian people, actually, many of them, they love Israel. They long for freedom. They want freedom as much as you and I want freedom. It's the Ayatollahs in Iran that are oppressive, just like the Lebanese. They want freedom, but it's the Hezbollah that are enslaving them and bringing in terrorism. So Israel is really a liberator for those people. There's a lot of people in Lebanon that agree with what Israel is doing because they know that—
Cheered Israel.
Yeah, they're cheering Israel. The same thing is happening in Iran as well. They want the terrorist regimes to be toppled. But if this didn't happen, if Iran did not do what they had done by launching hundreds of large rockets against Israel, they would continue to move forward with their nuclear capabilities. And as soon as they get a nuclear bomb, they would use it. And that would be devastating. So Israel needs to stop Iran before it gets to that point. And I think now is the open door to do so.
Yeah. And it's not a matter of if, it's when.
It's when.
That Israel's going to respond. And the prime minister has made, has spared no words in regard to that aspect, that they are going to retaliate. And now we have Iran warning Israel, if you do this, you're going to be sorry.
You know, and also, you know, Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, he had all those kinds of empty words as well. And of course, he's gone now. Israel took him out with bunker-busting bombs. He was, amazingly, Netanyahu was in the United States giving a speech to the United Nations as a diversion tactic. And Nasrallah and some of the other high-ranking Hezbollah officials went down into their bunker, and they were actually watching him give the speech in the UN. And that's when Israel took him out with the bunker-busting bombs, and it went down under the ground and blew up underneath the ground. And that's what took out this Hezbollah terrorist leader. And, you know, he's the one that's been responsible for the bombing of military bases in Beirut in 1983 and others, killings of Marines and others at the military bases in Lebanon over the past number of years.
He's been the mastermind behind it. And ladies and gentlemen, this coming Monday is October 7th, and this is the one-year anniversary of when Hamas came in with its barbaric atrocities and killed so many Israelis, took many hostages that are still being kept. And we will be joined, Lord willing, by Dr. Richard Schmidt on Monday from Prophecy Focus Ministries, and we'll focus more on Israel on that time. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk. When we come back, we'll be taking a look at, well, the presidential debate that's going on right now, the contest between the Republicans, Democrats in particular. We'll be taking a look at the debate performance last evening as well. So stay with us. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast does Niagara Falls erode?
Chris, based on historical measurements, the falls has eroded upriver approximately 5 feet per year. In the early 1800s, when Sir Charles Lyell was promoting his millions of years concept, he used Niagara Falls to support his theory. Lyell claimed it was eroding at less than 1 foot per year, thus was tens of thousands of years old. This, he claimed, disproved the Bible. But in reality, Lyell ignored the evidence of rapid erosion. In fact, the erosion rate and the distance of erosion almost exactly points to the Great Flood of Noah's day as the start of erosion of the river's valley. The fact is, Charles Lyell was wrong, and the Bible's still right. It all started back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. John. For more information, visit us on the web at icr.org. I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel. Their website, lc.org, lc.org. You'll find so much information there. And they also have another website, lcaction.org, and we're going to be looking at some material that they have on that site as we prepare to talk about the debate last evening. We first want to get to know a little bit about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Matt, it is no secret that Kamala Harris has just evaded these national interviews, not holding press conferences. When there is an interview, we find that there's often the putting of her foot in the mouth. But I know you've done a synopsis just a little bit on these individuals that are making up the Democratic ticket. Kamala Harris, you call her left of left. Who is she exactly? Because she's not speaking to the American public. She's not holding press conferences.
Yeah, she is left of left. And then amazingly, Tim Walz is, I think, maybe even a little bit left of her, if that's possible. Wow. That's how radical this ticket is. We have actually a lot of information on Kamala Harris and Tim Walz at lcaction.org/Kamala for Kamala Harris and /Walz, W-A-L-Z, for Governor Walz. But, you know, if you go back to her as a prosecutor and an attorney general in California, particularly on abortion, she's the one who actually raided David DeLayden's home to try to stop the videos in 2015, 2016 regarding Planned Parenthood's trafficking in human body parts from being delivered to the public. When those first videos of our client, Sandra Merritt, and David DeLayden released those in 2015, she went after them with an iron fist to try to stop them. And consequently, there was a change. She became a United States Senator. Xavier Becerra became the Attorney General. And then he began criminal prosecution. But for 9 years, up until this year, she tried to keep and was successful in keeping those videos from the public. But thanks to Marjorie Taylor Greene, she subpoenaed those for a congressional hearing. And now those videos that we were not even able to release for the last 9 years, we were bound by a court order not to do it because of what Kamala Harris and Xavier Becerra did. Now those are in the public. And the court has said nothing can be done about it because it's in the public because of the congressional subpoena. But she did not want the public to know what Planned Parenthood was doing is harvesting the baby body parts. And so she now is the most radical ever on the issue of abortion. And she is also trying right now, while she's still in the United States Senate or the vice president, to overturn the filibuster in the Senate so that she can pass these abortion bills. But she's radical on abortion. She's radical on LGBTQ, the most radical. She wants to pass the most extreme abortion bill that would allow abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. She wants to pass the so-called Equality Act that would repeal the Religious Freedom Restoration Act for religious protections and would impose the LGBT agenda on everyone, and I mean everyone. She is the border czar, and she never really visited the border. And not only have they allowed millions of people to cross the border, but this came up during the debate, they actually created an app so that people don't have to cross the border. Biden and Harris fly planes into their country, pick them up, put them on this app, approve them to come into the United States, and they never cross the border. They look like they're legal, but they're illegal all over the United States.
And that's exactly what is taking place. As a matter of fact, there was fact-checking that was done on last evening and on this very issue, on border security. And here is, they tried to fact-check J.D. Vance and quickly move on to another topic here. But he put the brakes on that. Let's listen to that exchange that took place last evening. We'll come back to even more information here.
And just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status, temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret, but
thank you, Senator. We have so much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important
we're
because
we're going to turn out of the economy. Debate, thank
Margaret,
you.
Margaret, the rules were that the you economy, guys weren't going to fact check. And since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on. So there's an application called the CBP One app where you can go on as an illegal migrant, apply for asylum or apply for parole and be granted legal status at the wave of a Kamala Harris open border wand. That is not a person coming in, applying for a green card and waiting for 10 years. That
Thank
is
you,
the
Senator.
Facilitation of illegal immigration, Margaret, by
Thank
our
you,
own
Senator,
leadership.
Thank you, Senator, for describing the legal process.
Kamala,
we have
Kamala
so
Harris
much to get to,
that
Senator.
Pathway.
Those
we
laws
have, so
have been
much
on the books since 1990.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The CBP one-app has not been on the books
since 1990. It's something that Kamala Harris created, Margaret.
Gentlemen, the audience can't hear you because your mics are cut. We have so much we want to get to. Thank you for explaining the legal process.
Matt, let's talk about this. Number one, the rudeness. I mean, the debaters were clearly promoting the Kamala Harris tagline here. But to give out this fact check, okay, now we're going to move on. When he tried to stop them, oh, we got so much to get to,
oh,
Senator.
Oh, so much to get to. And then they cut his mic.
Yes.
I mean, that is just absolutely rude. It's censorship. Because they don't want to get the information out. But there are a lot, you know, if you look at all the numbers of the people crossing the border, it's millions and millions of people.
Yeah.
But it's underreported because these people that J.D. Vance was talking about, they're not coming across the border. They're just as illegal as those that are coming across the southern border. But Harris and Biden created a way for them to bypass going across the border. They actually fly planes into their country, pick them up and fly them over the border into the United States, and they register them with this app, and they're all over the country. They're the same illegals. They're just not being counted as illegals. So that's what J.D. Vance was trying to explain. Between Harris and Biden, they are absolutely astonishingly liberal on this and frankly, dangerous to the country with regards to what's happening on the border.
Okay, well, the headlines came out just a few days ago. 13,000 illegal alien murderers are free in the United States. Almost 650,000 criminal aliens that are out on the streets.
And how many people have we seen time and time again where their loved ones have been murdered by an illegal coming across the border?
Mm-hmm.
Children have been raped, murdered. Others have been raped and murdered. And we know that these people are in the United States. These are convicted murderers. These are convicted criminals. And they're running around free. They're giving them a free pass. I saw the other day where in a sanctuary state, like, for example, Waltz's Minnesota, in a sanctuary state, they were allowing an illegal to go free, even though they knew he just robbed an individual. And they let him go free without any repercussions whatsoever. In 2019, Kamala Harris was ranked the most liberal senator in the United States Senate. And that is left of Bernie Sanders. You know how liberal Bernie Sanders is, but she's more liberal than Bernie Sanders. And that was ranked by a nonpartisan organization that she was left of all the leftists in the United States Senate. That's how radical she is.
And but you're saying that Tim Walz is even left of her.
Tim Walz is even more. So, for example, what he did in Minnesota, shortly after he arrived there as governor, he began repealing a bunch of laws, and he began to push forward with abortion. So they have, you know, for example, in the first debate, President Donald Trump talked about aborting babies up till birth, aborting babies late term. And remember, Kamala Harris says, oh, that doesn't happen in the so-called ABC, Lindsey Graham or Lindsey Davis said, mm-hmm. oh, that doesn't happen. Well, it happens right there in Waltz's state. And in fact, his own government agency said that that they're having children. They've got a document here between 2019 and 2021. There were multiple abortions, at least 8 abortions that resulted in babies born alive and being allowed to die after they are born. Mm-hmm. They just are left there to die. Governor Walz repealed a number of the pro-life laws. He repealed the law that would prevent partial birth abortion. He also was pushing for and repealed the law that would prevent coerced abortions. So you can coerce someone to have an abortion. That's no longer illegal there. He increased taxpayer funding for abortion. He removed a law that required that women have the right to know about the abortion, so the informed consent. He has very extreme views on abortion. He made Minnesota a sanctuary state for the trans. So if you have it's an abortion sanctuary state. So you can come there and get an abortion, and it's a sanctuary state for that, even though you're in another state that doesn't allow it. And it's a trans refuge state is what he calls it. And that means your child can, or someone, if you're in a domestic dispute, one spouse can take the kid to Minnesota and violate the court order for visitation and custody, and Minnesota will not do anything against them. Minnesota's laws under Waltz said this is a trans refuge state. So if you're there because you want puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, or mutilating surgeries, either a runaway or you come with one of the parents from a domestic dispute, Minnesota will make that a sanctuary state. And the other court orders in other states that say you can't do that, you need to come back into the state, Minnesota will refuse to recognize them. That's a violation of federal law. Federal law requires that one state recognize another state order with regards to custody and visitation. That prevents individuals from fleeing across the border and taking the kid, basically in a kidnapping situation, and keeping it from the parents. But Waltz says he will defy that federal law and now made Minnesota a sanctuary state for trans kids and those that are bringing them there. So, for example, if a kid runs away and you're trying to find them, the authorities are prevented from telling the parents where they are, and they are prevented from taking the child back into the home where they've fled from. So it's exceptionally radical. If people realized how extreme they are, I think it's quite shocking.
And this from the debate last night on abortion.
Trying to distort the way a law is written to try and make a point, that's not it
but
at all.
What was I wrong this about, was, Governor? Please tell me, what was I wrong about?
That is not the way the law is written. Look, I've given
but
this.
But how?
I've given this advice on a lot of things, that getting involved, getting engaged, that's been misread, and it was fact-checked at the last debate. But the point on this is there's a continuation of these guys to try and tell women or to get involved. I use this line on this, just mind your own business. On this, things work best when Roe versus Wade was in place. When we do a restoration of Roe, that works best. That doesn't preclude us from increasing funding for children. It doesn't increase us from making sure that once that child's born, like in Minnesota, they get meals, they get early childhood education, they get health care. So the hiding behind we're going to do all these other things when you're not proposing them in your budget. Kamala Harris is proposing them. She's proposing all those things to make life easier for families.
I asked a specific question, Governor. You gave me a slogan as a response.
It's not the case. It's not true. That's not what the law says. So they fact-checked it with President Trump.
Well, okay, and they're referring to abortion up to the ninth month taking place there, Matt, and we do know it is taking place, and it is happening within the state of Minnesota.
We do know, for example, the Protect Reproductive Options or PRO Act codifies abortion as a fundamental right without limits or safeguards, permitting abortion up to birth for any reason. That's under Governor Tim Walz. He knows that babies under that particular bill can be aborted throughout all 9 months of pregnancies. Parents have no right to be informed, and there is no need for a doctor to be involved nor a facility providing the abortion to be licensed. A second bill, the Reproductive Health Care Bill, allows individuals who have committed felonies by violating abortion laws in other states to be licensed to perform abortions in Minnesota, more specifically committing a felony related to providing abortion in another state. They can come and do the abortions in Minnesota.
Friends, it's happening, and some more debate reaction from last evening in just a moment. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Council. Again, their website, lc.org, lc.org. And Tim Walz, in essence, called abortion last night a basic human right, except for the human that's in the womb. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
If you're like most individuals, you look forward to your vacation. Many will take great effort to consider a destination the family will enjoy, what to do, where to stay, and what highways to take to get there. Sadly, most people spend more time planning their one-week vacation than they do preparing for eternity. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. None of us has the promise of tomorrow, and our eternal destiny is sealed at death. Wouldn't it be wise to investigate these things? That's the purpose of the book, Preparing for Eternity. In this book, author Mike Gendron contrasts the truth of God's Word with the teachings and traditions he was taught for over 30 years in the Roman Catholic Church. He found that eternal life is not merited by good works, but is given freely by God's grace to those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their all-sufficient Savior. The book, Preparing for Eternity, is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY American Network. Matt Staver with us in studio today. Matt is from Liberty Council. Again, their website, lc.org. They just celebrated 35 years with a special gala taking place, and we praise the Lord for their work and ministry taking place at Liberty Council. Many of you have certainly been engaged with the ministry one way or another. You hear Matt not only here on Crosstalk, but other programming as well, and just a tremendous blessing to our nation as a whole, fighting for our First Amendment rights. And tomorrow, he'll be addressing a pastors coming here for our Pastor Appreciation Month luncheon being held at our VCY America headquarters. We're looking forward to that, and certainly a charge and challenge to pastors as well. Right now, we're giving some evaluation to the presidential campaign, and specifically the debate that unfolded last evening as well, the first and only debate for the vice presidential candidates, and giving some analysis. We were just talking on this matter of abortion, and there is great denial from the Harris-Walz campaign here, Matt, as it relates to they've been pressed time and time and time, asked the question, then when should abortion, you know, stop? When should it not be legal? And they keep saying, well, we just want Roe v. Wade, just reinstall Roe v. Wade. But abortions were happening all the way into the ninth month with Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, Roe v. Wade allowed abortions through all 9 months of pregnancy because of the Doe versus Bolton companion decision that was decided the same day that used a modified version of the World Health Organization's definition of health, which includes anything. It's not just physical health, it's anything. So just to recap, Walz knows this because he was directly involved. There are several bills. The first one I've already mentioned, Protect Reproductive Options Act, codifies abortion as a fundamental right all the way up to birth for any reason. No parental consent, no need for a doctor to be involved, nor a facility to be licensed. Second bill, Reproductive Health Care Bill, under Walz. That says that if you have committed a felony in another state by violating their abortion laws, you can come to Minnesota and you can continue to do abortions in Minnesota. Felons in other states, doctors who have committed felonies. And another one, the bill, the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. That's a bill that says if you're born alive, you need to have some life-saving care given to you, just like anyone else that's born alive. That was repealed under Walz. That now allows doctors and nurses to deny life-saving care to infants who survive abortions.
They don't want people to know this.
They don't. And speaking of that, they don't want them to know, they also repealed the reporting requirements for babies that are born alive. So you no longer have to report that a baby was born alive and then left to die. So that's just some of the many bills that are pushed by and under the governorship of Tim Walz.
Okay. Well, friends, this is, and they're just in harmony with one another as it relates to the Walz and Harris campaign here together for this office. There was some difficult times for Tim Walz last night. Number one, he came out of the gate rather stumbling a little bit. I think he mixed up Israel and Iran, and at one point he was even asked about, hey, you said you were at Tiananmen Square, you know, when the uprising took place there, and asked him about that, and he just kind of called himself a knucklehead, and then he was pressed further on that as well.
Yeah, Governor, just to follow up on that, the question was, can you explain the discrepancy?
Just, all I said on this was, I got there that summer and misspoke on this. So I will just, that's what I've said. So I was in Hong Kong and China during the democracy protests, went in.
A little awkward moment for him last night, Matt.
Yeah, several awkward moments. You know, there was another awkward moment when he called himself a knucklehead. Mm-hmm. And it was in that context of whether he was there in China. We do know he has had a lot of contacts with China. And obviously he was teaching in China, but he also has made a lot of trips to China. China's been really high on his list. That is really a concern for anybody who's going to be in the White House, because China is a huge threat to America. They don't have any good intentions for America or, frankly, the rest of the world.
He has literally said he's gone to China dozens of times. That's his word. His campaign now saying, well, it's closer to 15 times at this point. But I know there's also been a concern regarding his what some have called stolen valor. It's seeming to have reached a level of promotion that was not his earned in the military, and also about carrying weapons into war, which it has found afterwards that he has not. And so many are concerned about the base of truth or lack of it from which he operates.
Yeah, he came out with this, flag waving, but those that know, they called him out on it, and come to find out, he lied on that. He lied about this to the American people. If he's going to lie to the American people, what else is he going to do? We do know also during COVID, he was very strict with regards to the lockdowns. And in fact, he actually ordered individual police officers, law enforcement officers, to go up and down neighborhoods and shoot paintballs at people that were sitting outside on their porch so they would go back inside their house. So the law enforcement officers under Waltz were literally targeting citizens just for sitting out on their front porch shooting paintballs at them. I mean, that's just unbelievable, the kind of coerciveness and lawlessness under this particular individual, Governor Waltz.
Suppose there'd be another national pandemic.
Oh, yeah. If it was another pandemic under, this administration, like we saw under Biden, I think the Harris and Waltz administration, we already know what they did under Harris, because she was part of Biden, and they abused our men and women in the military. We know that because we worked directly with them. But under Waltz, we know that it's even worse. I mean, who in their right mind would send police officers down a residential area and terrorize individuals to get back in their house and not sit on their front porch?
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. And when all was said and done last night, and there was certainly more that can be said on the debate itself, but this was analysis from Britt Hume on Fox News last evening.
Well, the moderators were obnoxious and made it feel like 3-on-1 on Vance, and Vance was just fine. He seems to have been, his skills as a debater and a speaker have seemed to have been honed to some extent by just these several months on the campaign trail. And for one so young, he seemed, in terms of his knowledge of policy, to run rings around poor Governor Walz, who I think did not have a very great night. As you say, Brett, he got better as the night wore on. But if you're rating this debate on points, it wasn't close. Vance had a good night.
And that's not okay. So that's from media more on the conservative side. But even on the left, Matt, here is from Breitbart. A CBS News poll and a CNN poll followed the vice president's debate on Tuesday night showed J.D. Vance beat Tim Walz by varying margins. But even the networks that are leftist, so to speak, the legacy media, they saw through this as well. Mr. Vance carried himself very well.
Well, I've got a document in front of me about it, and it's actually entitled Even More Left, Tim Walz's Neighborliness is in Fact Radical Socialism. And it goes through six pages of single-spaced information categorized by subject that we created, just going through his past history. And if you look at what happened during his past history, how do you defend that? And no wonder why you would stumble. Like, for example, during the aftermath of the George Floyd shooting, Governor Waltz allowed the riots that broke out in his state to escalate to a dangerous degree, leading to the death of three citizens. And in fact, it went unchecked for approximately 5 days. He failed to fully mobilize the National Guard. And in fact, we even have his wife, Gwen Waltz, sharing that she intentionally, how do you do this? Leave open the windows during the riots so you can, quote, smell the burning tires, close quote. That's from Governor Waltz's wife. They felt that that was a major point in history, and they wanted to take it in and smell the burning tires. This is their city being burned down, and they want to smell the burning tires of people's property and even their lives that are being destroyed or threatened.
Matt, and here is just a clip from Walz's previous on that neighborly comment.
But we can get out there, reach out, make the case. And for one thing, don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness.
I mean, he says it right there.
Yeah, and he said that on a program called White Dudes for Harris, and it summarizes the danger, you know, of this particular individual, because one person's socialism is another person's neighborliness.
Mm-hmm.
So he thinks socialism is just being a good neighbor. Well, you know what? We just had, as you mentioned, our 35th anniversary. At the very end of it, Harry, or Horatio Mihet, was a 12-year-old boy 35 years ago in 1989. He lived in communist socialism in Romania. And it was in his town that the uproar took place. And eventually, 2 weeks later, Ceausescu was captured, tried on Christmas Eve, and executed on Christmas Day, December 25, 1989. That was Harry's first day of freedom. He grew up, and his dad, as a pastor, grew up pastoring about 17 underground churches in Romania in a socialist communist state. That's not neighborliness. That's oppression. And that's the kind of thing that Walt stands for.
Friends, we're going to open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Comments on the presidential race, comments on the vice president, presidential debate last night, or questions here from Matt Staver on these issues. Our number, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. It's very interesting that before the debate even happened, yesterday, on September 30th, Newsbusters from the Media Research Center did a report, Matt, on the extreme bias CBS widely slanted in favor of Harris-Walz. All the positive stories that they have been doing on the Harris-Walz ticket, the very negative stories on the Trump-Vance ticket.
Well, and you could see that during the debate. It was also the same thing during the ABC debate with Harris and President Donald Trump. You saw very clearly that these moderators actually participated in the debate, but only on one side. And that clip that you aired earlier, where they tried to, quote, fact check, which they were wrong about the illegals coming in. And then when J.D. Vance wanted to respond, they wanted to move on to something else. And when he continued to respond, they shut his mic down.
Yeah.
I mean, that is clearly showing bias. We need, you know, it used to be that the media was the entity that would hold government accountable. But now what they have become is a branch of the Democratic Party, most of the large mainstream media.
Well, 90+% stories, negative on Trump, positive on Harris, we're seeing from the networks, ABC being amongst the worst of them, but NBC, CBS really following their footsteps as well.
Yeah, they are. So, you know, it's why it's so important to have other sources of media like your program here on Crosstalk and other sources of media, your radio program and others. You can't get your news from these so-called mainstream media, the so-called legacy media, because it's constantly biased, whether it's on this presidential candidate issue or something else. It always has its slant.
Well, friends, we're going to pick up your phone calls here on Crosstalk. We'll try and squeeze in before the break. William in East Troy. William, you're on the air.
Gentlemen, Mr. Staver, thank you for your ministry with Liberty Council. But I wanted to ask this. We know that Walz and Harris are both in favor of mask mandates and lockdowns, and obviously they were shooting people on porches and things. If, God forbid, they get elected to office, will they be worse than the situation we had with Biden? And do you think we should be proactive now in telling companies and businesses we're not going to comply?
The answer to that, I think, is both yes to both of those. I think they would be worse than the Biden-Harris, as bad as that is. You know, as you go down through this progression, you look at Clinton and you think of how he was. Then you look at Obama. Then you look at Biden-Harris. They're even worse. I think this one's even worse. The Harris-Walz ticket is the most radical in American history.
Well, thank you, William, for the call. Up against a break, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Your questions or brief comments today, 800-733-9829. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtube.com. So Israel has begun its official invasion into Lebanon. Last week, the head of Hezbollah was taken out by Israel. Many people rejoiced, and then some questioned, is this appropriate behavior for Christians? Well, the Bible makes it clear that vengeance belongs to the Lord. Leave it to the Lord. But at the same time, there's a difference between vengeance and justice. Romans 13 tells us that one of the functions of government is to make a just and stable society, and when necessary, to bring about capital punishment. In fact, it says that the government does not bear the sword in vain. Military action against a leader that is and has been involved in murdering its own people is the biblical function of government and a military, according to Scripture. So yes, Christians can rejoice that evil was extinguished and government carried out its godly function.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Council. And again, there's not press conferences being done. People are having a hard time to press these candidates where they stand on issues. And Matt, you've got further concerns.
Yeah, you know, with regards to illegal immigration and the border policy, during an interview with CNN, Waltz criticized Trump's plan to build a wall and joked that he would invest in a, quote, ladder factory. Mm-hmm. He also signed into law the Driver's License Act for All, allowing illegal immigrants to obtain a driver's license. And the Department of Driver's License there in Minnesota will not reveal to law enforcement the names or personal information of the applicants. He also has made Minnesota an immigration sanctuary state. So he's made Minnesota a sanctuary state for illegals, for abortion, and for trans.
Wow. Wow. We've got Chris calling from Apple Valley, Minnesota. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm curious your take on Walls checks. The Minnesota taxpayer, kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I guess surprised me that, you know, he could run this big surplus as a governor and then decide who he wanted to return that money to in the form of his Walls checks. And just curious if this is something that happens often within government. And then they stipulate who that money goes back to. Should I be annoyed, or is it just the way things go?
So is this refund money that went back to certain taxpayers, or how? I'm not familiar with the Minnesota refund checks.
You know, it was good. He ran a large surplus, and then the Walls checks, they went back to certain income thresholds or income levels.
Oh,
okay. And so he picked in.
So he picked and he chose who he wanted to refund them to rather than refunding them across the board. So he did what Kamala Harris would call equity. So they're not going to give it equally. They're going to give it based upon their view of who is going to be most worthy of it. So they'll pick and choose, kind of like reparations. And that's what Waltz did. Yeah, you ought to be annoyed by that.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Matter of fact, even the hurricane efforts, Helena relief, Matt, we're hearing this word equity as well.
Yeah.
FEMA says we have to do it equitably.
And they're actually, that's part of their policy. It's under the Biden-Harris administration. How do you do that? You know, if you have houses in different places that need help, you need to help them. There's no equity issue there. You don't say, well, because this person has a certain gender or race or whatever, we're going to help this person, but not that person. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs help. Just help them. I mean, but this equity issue is part of the Waltz-Harris ideology.
We've got Sam calling from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Sam, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, I was wondering, you commented about the governor's wife with an open window leaking the smell of tires. Didn't apartheid during the apartheid in South Africa, didn't Winnie Mandela, didn't they necklace people where they put them in tires and set them on fire?
Yes. Yeah, they did. They did. I mean, it's that's despicable. But I can't imagine you're a governor or the first lady of your state.
And it's being destroyed.
And it's being destroyed. People's lives are being destroyed, property being destroyed. And you want to smell the tires. You want to take in this moment and not let it pass. I mean, no, you need to get out there and help your people. What are you thinking?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for the comment. Let's see. We've got holding the longest, Sam in South Dakota. Sam, you're on the air.
Yes. Say a comment about something that Tim Wall said last evening. Said that the number one killer of children in the United States was guns. There are far more babies that are killed every year than there are guns.
Yeah.
The babies that are unborn.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're so right. Thank you. We've got Deborah calling from Zanesville, Ohio. Deborah, you're on the air.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't get to hear the Waltz and Vance, but I do hope that Trump and Vance make it. And it says in the Bible, Isaiah, fear not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with my hand of righteousness. Thank you, and God bless.
Amen. Thank you so much for your call here, Deborah. And keeping the proper focus so important in times like this.
Absolutely. I mean, you can get really focused on all the things that are going around, but you know what? God is in control. What is meant for evil, God can turn into good. And with God, all things are possible, so never give up hope.
And let's see. We also have calling in. This is Star calling from Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering, I thought drop boxes was a no during voting. And then the other question is, if Harris and them, you don't want any of us to have guns, why aren't they over there taking all them rifles from these illegals that are taking over the motels and stuff?
Well, good point. You know, the illegals just took over the hotel, and it's a gang that's come in from
Colorado.
Yeah, come in from I think it's Aurora, Colorado, that they came in from
Venezuela.
Venezuela, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, double standard, and I think you pointed that out here. Thank you very much for your call. And let's see, one more call here. This is Jerry in Ohio. Jerry, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. First of all, God bless you guys and for your program. I watched the debate last night, and it does sicken me. And I believe that God is in control, and I believe that the just is going to suffer with the unjust. Mm. And I know time is limited, but I wished with all my heart that somehow, some way, that this information could get to the ABC, NBC, CBS. I know it would cost a bloody fortune, but the general public needs to hear what is going on.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry, for that. But there's yet a lot of censorship going on. I mean, this is Tim Walz's view. Listen to this.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's shocking. I mean, who's going to set the standard? Who's going to, you know, if it's the fact checkers on ABC and CBS, they don't have the facts right. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be the standard? The fact is, these people don't respect the First Amendment because they don't want to hear or even allow an opposing viewpoint. They don't want women to even be informed about an abortion. So they want to withhold information. They want to shut you down. They did this during COVID. They wanted to censor you. They wanted to censor doctors who had different views, had different ideas, who had different critical research information. They wanted to shut you down and punish you. That is not America, and that is contrary to our constitutional freedom.
Matt, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel. He'll be back tomorrow, and we're going to be talking further about this abortion matter on ballots across these United States. Also, the desire by Kamala Harris to urge the Senate to abolish the filibuster in order to resurrect Roe. That and much more coming up on tomorrow's program. Thanks for joining us here on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.